Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
By a member of the public to bring forward to your attention concerns about speeding on Caroline, Dogwood, and Stewart streets. I myself, in traveling, have noticed this. I live off of Dogwood, and it just seems that people are just in such a rush to get to work or to get to wherever they want to be at lunch or later in the day that people seem to forget that there are neighborhoods adjacent to the Dogwood at certain points. And people are going pretty fast.
So this is Mayor Heather Lindsay talking during the city council meeting the other day and raising the question that somebody obviously had raised with her about speeding. Now, John, you live in Milton. I don't live in Milton. But speeding on Dogwood and Caroline and Stewart Street, that never happens, though, right?
Oh, it happens. Oh, trust me, I get passed a lot.
And I will say it is everywhere. You know, even I'm always amazed. Like I drive on Creighton a lot. Okay, Creighton between Davis and like 12th Avenue. Okay, is you know anywhere in there to Tippin, anywhere in that vicinity. I that's one of my roads I use all the time for whatever reason. You know, going to Walmart, going to PSC, going elsewhere. Okay, that's one of the best roads in the area in terms of if you're trying to get from A to B. It's the road I will opt to go to because the speed limit is 45. It's wide open, five lanes, two lanes with a middle lane. There's you know, I mean, it's just, it's a very good street. I have been driving on that street, and, you know, in Florida, you can go 5 miles over without getting a ticket. I mean, I drive on that street going 50 and been passed by people going into the middle lane to pass around me. Like, what in the Indy 500 do you think this is? Like, what is wrong with you? Oh, my God, yesterday, I'm trying to think, where was it? I was, I can't think of the place all of a sudden that just escapes me. I guess I was bringing one of the kids home from UWF. And, oh, yeah, it was on Davis Highway going south. And it's, you know, 4 o'clock. It's pretty congested. And this avalanche, he's in the, you know how when you're going towards I-10 and there's that split where you've got to pick whether you're going to go to the light or whether you're going to go towards the off-ramps. But, of course, if you go to the off-ramps, you can still go straight, which is the, like, best way to go because you never get stopped by the light. We are, I don't know, 50 feet from the median that splits you, and there's, between me and the car in front of me, there's maybe 25 feet, 20 feet, something like that. And this avalanche who's in the going to go towards the lights part decides that he doesn't want to be there and he wants to get in front of me. It just goes. And I honked at him because you got to teach idiots a lesson, and even if it doesn't work, that's right. What you do, you know, good citizenship. I mean, I'd spank him if I could, but, you know, he was too big. You know, that's good parenting. Obviously, didn't get a lot of it. And, you know, I'm like, what in the – what are you doing? And then he just – and then he goes to turn left to go down the street that's across from the Texas Roadhouse. I always forget the name of that. But I'm just – this aggressive driving stuff – and, look, I grew up in Chicago. I mean, I know how to drive aggressively, okay, safely, quickly, right? It's weird. Like, it's weirdly pathological in the red light running and the speeding and the, sort of just the totality of bad behavior that you see. It's kind of everywhere. So Tony Tindall, the chief of the Milton Police Department, he was kind of asked to talk about, well, what can we do? Because they were, what the city council was talking about, was what are the various tactics that we have, you know, and it's everything from speed humps, terrible, to the, you can put up the little fakey monitor thing that tells you, ah, you're going 38, and then it flashes at you, and sometimes the ones will have, like, the red and blue lights because it looks copish, but, of course, they don't record anything. There's no red light cameras on there, or there's no speed cameras on there. Speed cameras in Florida aren't even legal. So, you know, it's just meant to make you go, oh, which, of course, the problem is that some people speed up to, you know, right? Well, they were talking about what can we do and, you know, higher enforcement level or whatever. And Tony Tindall's like, look, this is not a problem that is unique to Milton.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a nationwide problem. You go on interstate, you got people speeding. You anywhere you go, and I'm not saying it's, you know, that it's okay. It just is a problem that everybody, every law enforcement agency is experiencing.
Yeah, everybody is seeing it everywhere. And, of course, what you know is that law enforcement agencies actually see less of it because people who drive ridiculously drive better when the cops are around. Right. So the people, you know, as much as cops see bad behavior, they see less of it than the average person just because nobody slows down because they see my Honda Civic. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. Feel intimidated. You know, it's a pretty impressive car. So, you know, it's bad everywhere.
We are continuing our efforts to enforce speed. We will continue it. And, but like I say, it just, you know, it's just not occurring only in the city of Milton. It is everywhere. We all see it every day.
And, you know, somebody, I suppose, might say, what does it matter, Andrew, if people drive aggressively? We shouldn't have speed limits anyway, right? You know, I love Mad Max, and we should all drive like that. Okay. You may not remember, but he's the chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office now. But Tommy Leiter, once upon, was the chief of police in Pensacola. And the thing that, if he said it once, he said it 100 times. He said, the most preventable source of public safety hazard is from speeding. The most preventable source of public, like, you know, we go out of our way to arm SROs to put them at the schools to keep our kids safe. And we put up walls around the schools to keep our kids safe. And we give police shot spotters so to keep our public safe. And we go through, you know, we spend all kinds of money and time trying to give people to equip law enforcement to make life safer in a way that doesn't cost us significant liberty, right? That's always the trade-off, okay? You know, you put kids behind a wall, that decreases their liberty, but it increases their safety, right? I mean, basic trade-off. Speeding is the number one most preventable source of public safety risk because speeding is the primary cause. Distracted driving is important, but speeding is the primary cause in death and damage from vehicle crashes, right? So if you can just get people to not speed so much, we would have fewer deaths, we would have fewer incidents of damage to property. You said that so many times. The problem is people want to speed. And, you know, everybody does, most everybody does, to some degree, you know, sort of the within reason. The problem is that for some people, within reason is pretty unreasonable. But they don't know that. They just think everything's fine. Tony Tindall did have kind of a funny note about that, talking about the speed signs, you know, the ones with the radar that flash at you or whatever.
Got myself, detectives, captains, and, you know, us that are in unmarked vehicles, we're out there stopping people. And that's the approach we're going to take. We're going to keep on going. Like I say, the signage, in some areas it does work, and in other areas they just speed up to see if they can make the signs flash. You know, so for whatever reason. And you know, we've all seen it. I mean, if I'm in a Firebird, I've done it. But and not saying that's right, it's just a thing.
So, you know, if I'm in my Firebird, I've done it. Like, that's human behavior. But there's a pattern of habitual bad drive. And, you know, there's all kinds of problems. Like, in America, we basically hand out driver's licenses like we're handing out, you know, breath mints at the restaurant after dinner. You've got to really go out of your way to fail your driver's test in America. That's not good because the skill level of the average driver around you, come on, you know it's not good. How many times do you yell at other drivers for all the dumb stuff they do? And listen, everybody thinks they're the genius driver. I have yet to meet a person that's like, oh man, yeah, I'm bad at this. Right? Everybody thinks. So it's hard to get a good self-assessment of where people are at. But we definitely give out driver's licenses too easily. In Europe, you know, you fail your license test 2-3 times. Common. Why? Because it's hard. Why? Because, I don't know, maybe putting individual idiots in charge of a 2-ton death device is maybe not the best idea, right? So anyway, you know, he says there's not really a lot that we can do. We can focus speed enforcement in certain areas and kind of make this neighborhood feel like we're enforcing it there, because if it gets a reputation that we're enforcing it in this neighborhood, then people will slow down at least for a while they believe that. And if you just randomly, sporadically enforce speed all over the area, it doesn't really create a cognitive improvement in people's fear, which is the only thing that's going to work, is them being afraid of, you know, getting a ticket, because obviously they're not afraid of the consequences of speeding. Otherwise, they wouldn't speed. Everybody drives a speed that they feel safe driving. And the problem is that some people don't have a very good barometer in that regard.
We can research on the signage, and I can get with you, Mayor, see if there's a new idea, something else that we can come up with. But for right now, we're doing, you know, pretty much everything we can. And you know, what we're limited in personnel, and a lot of times we'll go work in one area, transition to another area, and just move around in spots. We seem to be having a better concentrated effort if we do that, instead of just saying, okay, you go out on 9 and you go out on Dogwood one at a time. Doesn't seem to be as effective.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically working with human cognition here, and you can lower the speed limit, which doesn't typically do a lot to change behavior. You can put physical impediments in, which doesn't really do a lot to change behavior, except right at the source of the speed hump. I still, for the life of me, cannot understand. There are human beings who really believe in speed bumps, and I don't understand that these people, they're speaking the language I'm speaking, they're using the reasons I would use, and then all of a sudden when it comes to speed bumps, it's like they believe in a mythical creature. I don't understand. But, you know, the one thing speed bumps do is they can make it so unpleasant to drive a street that you drive elsewhere. But as far as getting people to actually drive slower on that street, I've never seen it happen. They just slow down right for that area, and they speed back up in between, right? So, but, you know, that's one tactic. Another tactic is putting up the signs that scare people. Another tactic is, you know, changing the design of the roadway so that people don't feel comfortable going so fast. That's the whole concept of road diets. I talked about that yesterday a little bit. Chris Phillips in Escambia County gave a really good example of that on Perdido Key Drive, where they're thinking about putting planter-esque kind of visual impediments in the median right away around the crosswalks, so that when you get close, you feel like, something's wrong here, I need to slow down. Because that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the, I don't know about all this, slow down. That's what you're trying to create so that people don't feel comfortable speeding. Because as it goes right now, people are doing it more. It's hard to stop them, except, as Chief Tindall said, if you can maybe kind of make them afraid that right around this neighborhood, at least recently, the cops have been, you know, because you know how you get that sense, like, I don't know, I've seen a lot of cops around here lately. Like, for a while on 12th Avenue, I've seen a lot of cops parked in that, by the parking lot that the airport's creating, or, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, Gulf Breeze. Oh, man, don't speed in Gulf Breeze. They're always out there. Well, that was Tommy Leiter's idea, is I want to create a reputation for the city of Pensacola like the city of Gulf Breeze. He didn't manage to make it happen while he was the chief, but that was what he was hoping for, is make people feel like you can't speed here or you're going to get in trouble, because that will save life and protect property. Anyway, 437-1620. I don't have an answer. I mean, I don't, you know, except we start taking people's licenses away or not giving them to them in the first place, or changing all the roads, which is very expensive, or enforcing, which is very expensive, you know, or, I mean, what, having cars that report themselves to the police? You know, like, there's no good answers to this. This is not a problem that you can wave a wand and solve particularly easily. And, of course, the basic problem is that you're up against the fact that even as you're listening to me talk about this right now, you're either in the, yeah, Andrew, tell him, or in the, man, shut the up. I'm going to drive the way I'm going to drive. It's America. What are you, some communist wants to tell people to slow down? Well, I would prefer if we could have a society where people aren't dying needlessly. I mean, if that's not important to you, and it obviously isn't, because everybody speeds, right? 524 on News Radio, which, by the way, you know, just funny side note, there's this Vision Zero thing that FDOT and the U.S. Department of Transportation have, which TPO, the Transportation Planning Organization, which is the organization that oversees all of the road stuff for Baldwin, Escambia, Santa Rosa counties. And, you know, their goal, Vision Zero, is this idea of create a traffic system that has zero deaths, pedestrians, bicyclists, or drivers, over the course of some period of time. That's their goal, is zero. And what I have always said is it's a stupid goal. Oh, it's not stupid to try to not kill anybody. It's just that it's never going to happen. And so setting that as a goal means we'll never get there. Well, we can get a little bit better. Yeah, but, you know, the way you get to Vision Zero is to have 15-mile-an-hour speed limits. You know, make it like the mobile home park, where nobody really speeds through there because you just really can't. But we're not willing to do that, otherwise we would do that. Nobody believes in that. Not really. Not even me. Even as I'm complaining about speeding. Even I, of course. I don't drive slow because I'm trying to get where I'm going. And I know how to drive, like everybody thinks. 525 on News Radio 92.3. Have I meandered around this topic enough now, John?
Oh, I think you're good. You're good, my friend.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, checking in.
This is not just your flu shot appointment at Walgreens.
Yes.
This is getting your entire family vaccinated in one trip.
Hey, Mom.
And a snack on the way out. Get flu shots for everyone in your family, together. Schedule appointments online today. This is wellness made easy. Walgreens.
Vaccine subject to availability and for ages 3+. State and health-related restrictions may apply.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus, free home delivery on select smart beds when you add any base. Ends Labor Day. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Yeah, zoom, 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 zoom.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio 92.3. If the Mazda ad didn't take you back, the XTC certainly will. What's XTC? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
I do have headlines, but first, did you say a minute ago nobody's ever admitted to you that they are just a terrible driver?
Do you know people who say that? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that.
I'm going to blow your mind. I am a terrible driver.
Okay, you would be the one person, yeah. Though. And the funny thing is, the person who's willing to say they're a terrible driver is probably a way better driver than all the genuinely terrible drivers.
See,
it's like the closer you get, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, the better driver you are, the more you realize you're not a good driver.
I have resigned myself to the fact that I am just rapidly becoming an 80-year-old man in a 40-year-old man's body. I drive so slow. Everybody hates me. People honk.
No, I get the bird. No, but that doesn't make you a bad driver. That's a slow driver, and that is a completely different category.
It's like I'm still driving through the cornfields every day. I'm telling you. All right, U.S. companies are apparently being flooded with job applicants from North Korea. Tech startup Cinder told Forbes that it suspects as many as 4 in 5 of their job applicants from job websites are part of a remote work scheme that they believe is aimed to help fund the North Korean state. SpaceX has delayed.
Wait. So it's not fake. It's not in the sense that they're
right,
not.
Apparently people are just.
They're not. It's not some kind of weird psychological operation. They're trying to get jobs for North Koreans where they're going to work remotely from North Korea and nobody's going to
be the wiser.
Right,
and then all the money is being funded back into whatever operation they're running.
Also, what a weird website, app or website name. Cinder? You like swipe right if you like the job? Right. That job's not very sexy. Swipe left. I mean, is that what that is? I just don't, you know. Send resume. Hey, you want to meet in person? No, 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 no. This is all going to be over the internet from North Korea. Like, that's Cinder?
Okay.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Former President Trump has been indicted again in his election subversion case brought by special counsel Jack Smith after the Supreme Court ruled presidents do have immunity for official conduct.
The superseding indictment removes allegations the former president pressured Justice Department officials to investigate voter fraud. But the updated indictment still alleges former President Trump tried to persuade his vice president, Mike Pence, to refuse certifying the electoral vote.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. Israel carrying out raids in the occupied West Bank.
The Israeli military says its operations are designed to dismantle militant groups and prevent attacks on Israelis. Palestinian officials report the volatile city of Jenin has been sealed off, with troops blocking entry and exit points.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Palestinian officials say at least 9 Palestinians have been killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 79 degrees, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Pensacola man facing charges for allegedly threatening victims with a machete, jumping through a window in a bid to escape, and then attempting to run from deputies. All of this following a custody dispute. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says 39-year-old Roderick Lewis faces multiple charges in this case. The victims say Lewis threatened them with a machete on Sunday and then fled the scene. He was later found at his girlfriend's home, where he reportedly jumped through a window to escape. The next day, Lewis and his girlfriend, 41-year-old Crystal Sorrell, were found driving on Michigan Avenue. Deputies say they tried to stop the vehicle, but Sorrell, the driver, led them then on a high-speed chase that ended with a pit maneuver a little further down the road. Then Lewis, they say, got out and tried to run on foot before being caught in a backyard. Lewis is now charged with aggravated battery, resisting an officer, and possession of marijuana. Crystal Sorrell charged with fleeing and eluding in the case. The Florida law banning minors from being prescribed puberty blockers and hormone treatments is being enforced again now after a federal appeals court decision yesterday.
What we've said in Florida is we are going to remain a refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy.
Governor Ron DeSantis applauding the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that blocked a lower court order against the ban while the case is appealed. The law also bans transgender surgery for minors and requires transgender adults to receive treatments only from a doctor. SpaceX delaying the overnight launch aimed at creating a new generation of space flight. It's the second time for the delay.
Tuesday's scheduled liftoff of the Polaris Dawn mission was delayed by a day for additional pre-launch checkouts related to a helium leak and rescheduled for early Wednesday morning. The company said on X that it was standing down from the launch as teams continue to monitor weather for favorable launch and return conditions. Kate Fisher has more on what's expected once the mission finally does get underway.
Two astronauts on SpaceX's Polaris Dawn mission are expected to leave the capsule in Earth's orbit, making it the first major test of the company's new spacesuits.
They'll conduct the first ever commercial spacewalk. During their journey, the astronauts will also run experiments and conduct critical research regarding the impact of spaceflight on human health. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And Senator Rick Scott looking for more information about erroneous job report data. Senator Scott and others yesterday sending a letter to Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue. The letter was in response to a report that revised downward the number of jobs created between March 2023 and 2024 by around 800,000. Scott and his colleagues say the misleading numbers create a false impression for the public and cast doubt on the validity of the data. They're asking Sue for a response by September 9th. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Plenty of sunshine today with temperatures near 93 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Humidity returns on Thursday with a high near 90, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. For Friday, 40% chance of rain, temperatures in the upper 80s, low 90s, lows in the mid to upper 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 79 now in Pensacola, also 79 in Gulf. Gulf breeze and 75 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Join the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9. They'll be talking about their upcoming fundraiser, Rock for Vets, as well as other initiatives they support. The Rock for Vets fundraiser is September 14th at Community Maritime Park and will support our local homeless veteran community. Learn more about Rock for Vets and the People's Foundation of Northwest Florida on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
News Radio 92.3, working for you. Informative.
Vic Scott running away with it. 87% of the vote at this point. Matt Gaetz.
Local.
Hey, Vicki Campbell, how you doing? Popping any champagne at this point or what?
Yes, sir. We sure are.
Dependable.
We actually have some big numbers coming in right away, don't we, sir?
Surprising.
Up to the minute, down to the wire.
Board of County Commissioners, District 1, Steve Stroberger beating Jeff Burgos.
Election coverage that's informative, local, dependable. News Radio 92.3.
Actually, I've talked to the mayor and the mayor department, and certainly have talked to commissioners from Santa Rosa County. In light, obviously, we had a shooting last year at Bellevue, Jeff, in your district. It was a killing. We had a shooting in Wedgwood, and so I've talked to one of the executives of the leagues just for football, and would just love to have the support here that for this season, that with all the violence that has plagued our high school football games and our little league, that we don't start games after dusk in our parks just for this year, in our county parks. And I think the city is, you know, certainly having that conversation, Alex, as well.
So this was Commissioner Lumen May talking during the Board of County Commissioners meeting, Escambia County meeting, about 3 weeks ago. Talk after the Wedgwood shooting, right? The folks were outside playing dice while there was a basketball game going on inside the Wedgwood Community Center. And then the sort of short-term solution that they seem to have come up with was, you know, closing that center, but also trying to get there to be no after-dark games of any kind, whether it's football or basketball or and baseball or anything else, because that's when problems happen. And, you know, he had the support of Stephen Barry and Jeff Burgos and Mike Kohler, and it was kind of a deference to District 3 in this regard, which they often do. But I was, you know, kind of curious what law enforcement thought of this because, and I wasn't quite sure where it really stood. You know, did we do this? Did we not do this? And so yesterday we talked about that a bit with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, actually quite a bit about where these problems are coming from and how they're related to sporting events. Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Good to see you.
So have the games been, night games been stopped? What about the Pine Forest fights? Do you want people to know? A lot of times I feel like the altercations that take place at schools don't really make the news, but they might be fairly common. You know, I hear after the fact about things that like Wedgwood, you know, or not Wedgwood, but Warrington Middle, you know, that kind of stuff that So tell me what's really going on here so that I can understand it as a citizen.
Well, let's start with the Pine Forest fights that, that took place. Sometimes when you look at these high school games, there are teams that might be away, and so the fans that don't travel with those teams will go to other games. So sometimes you have a mix of other schools going to this one particular school's game.
Okay.
And I think that was a little bit in the mix at the Pine Forest high school game.
So it's people who want to go to a football game, their team is playing away, they'll come here to Pine Forest, so, but they're actually a Scambia fan.
Yeah, and so sometimes there's some conflicts with that. And
I got you.
And we're aware of that. Our intelligence analysts take a look at that when we get that information. So they sold a lot of tickets to this particular game. The school staff and the deputies that were there did a good job of breaking up whatever kind of potential conflicts there were. The problem with this one was that they ushered them out to leave, and then they got into a fight in the middle of Longleaf, the road right there in front of Pine Forest.
In the road?
In the road. And so there's some cell phone.
Like, how many people are we talking about?
I understand there were about a dozen fights.
Oh, God.
So. Again, and these were all females. Apparently, all the fights involved females at this particular
night. Another Friday.
Well, I don't know if I can say that.
I mean, my goodness. Wow.
Well, I mean,
okay.
You know, fights have been taking place at football games for
decades, as long as there's been football and kids, sure.
But this one began because I think it there was so many of them that they flared up here, flared up there. We did an affidavit yesterday for one of the combatants. And we'll be serving that warrant whenever it gets signed. But most of it, we just broke it up. It wasn't as much issue as people seem to think there was. But there were several fights, and I did have a conversation yesterday.
Did anybody hurt badly?
Yeah, no minor. Well, again, not that was reported to us.
Okay.
No serious injuries.
Okay.
I had a conversation with Superintendent Keith Leonard yesterday, mm-hmm. And we're on the same page. We're looking at different games, looking at avenues, and looking at security. We positioned two of our portable cameras at Pine Forest because, again, that was probably the most busy Friday night game. We actually had a portable light situation that we put out there also because there were some darkened areas.
Okay.
So we had some proactive activity out there because the fight took place on Longleaf. Our cameras were at the parking lot
in the
stadium.
We didn't
catch that, but there were some video from some cameras. As you know, nowadays, every fight is on someone's camera.
It's no fun if you can't stream it live.
Yeah, I guess.
Thanks for the evidence.
look what happened here. So that's the Pine Forest situation, but we are looking at the other games and what you know there could be potential with a large crowd. And again, we're going to continue to do what we do.
Is the night game, the at night game, part of the problem?
I don't know when you're going to have a high school.
When are you going to do a football game? During the day?
I think it's just
3 o'clock on a Friday.
The kids typically that. I say kids. Some of them are certainly out of high school.
Yeah,
that think that they can just get away with this stuff, and that's why I told Channel 3 yesterday when we identify someone that committed a crime, and this one person actually battered a deputy, didn't hurt the deputy, but pushed her, shoved her, hit mm-hmm. the deputy, that they're going to go to jail, and until they understand that this is not worth it, you will go to jail. We'll put cuffs on you. I don't care how old you are. Unless you're 5 or 6, you know, but you're talking about teenagers, older teenagers, and early 20s. If you get into a fight and you don't listen to deputies, you're going to go to jail.
So this sounds a little different to me than what we saw at Wedgewood or what we've seen at other youth football. It's the adults who attend more so than it is like participants or their friends. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I would say that.
And a lot of gambling, right? There's a lot of side gambling going on in the stands a lot of times. Sometimes that leads to fight. I'm not saying that's what happened at Wedgewood.
We hear that. But I mean,
things like that are kind of going on sometimes, right?
On which games?
At the youth games.
Probably all the games. But I would imagine that the youth games, and probably it happens like that at college games and pro mm-hmm. games and everything. Yeah. But with regards to the youth football, again, this has been going on for 20-something years. I ran a ballpark for many years. Lumen and I have had many conversations about – in the past, we've even had our juniors. So juniors are the older of the kids. Those are 13, 14-year-olds.
Okay.
Just before they get played high school football. Some of them are even in high school. And the issue there is that so many people go to 5-year-old games, a lot more people go to 13, 14-year-old games. They're almost high school level, you know, really high level,
right.
level ball. And so that's at night, so people go to it. at one point we had the juniors with the older kids playing first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. It didn't really work out, but this was probably 15, 20 years ago. So to Lumen's point, and we've had a conversation, including over the weekend, about what my thoughts were about not having the night games. I think you should do everything you can to not have a night game. These games are always on Saturdays. People are off work. People, sometimes they're drinking all day long, and then they end up going, what is there to do? If there's college football, it's fine, but if not, they can go to a real game, and they can watch a game live. So he asked my opinion, and my opinion is you should be able to work this to where you do not have a game at night. The game should end up around dusk and go and filter people out.
Okay. Yeah, no, interesting, because it seems like we've actually got a couple of different, maybe similar problems, but they're not the same problem. And each case depends on the age, depends on the nature of the event, and, you know, That's interesting nuance to me. I appreciate that. In other news in Escambia County law enforcement, there was a shooting. It took place at North S Street and Lloyd that led to a chase in a pit, and there was a kid. Is that right, in the car?
Yeah, sadly, a kid. There was an infant in the car. Someone calls our dispatcher, and you can hear it on the dispatch. I heard it yesterday, and they say, hey, there's a lady that's getting out of her car, and she's firing into this group of people. In fact, the dispatcher can be heard saying, was that shots? And she says, yeah, that was shots fired. So as they're talking to the dispatcher, they're giving a description, a female, and they're driving a dark colored or a black SUV, and they're leaving. Our deputies, to their credit, are in the area quickly. They see the car, they try to stop it. It doesn't stop. So we have a suspect of an aggravated assault at the least, which is a dangerous felony. Someone's shooting. So we do a pit maneuver.
You said firing into a crowd?
Into a group of people. That's what the call was.
So a drive-by.
They stopped. I think it was an argument or disagreement.
Okay.
And then she retrieved a gun, and then she went.
But from a car, or from near a car, anyway.
Just outside the car.
Got it.
And then got back in the car and fled away. That's why we had a pretty good description. That's when our deputy got behind a black SUV with a female driver, which is exactly what the description was. Turn lights on, didn't want to stop. We did a pit. There was a guy wire that they pitted into, and the car actually rolled over.
Oh, okay.
So our deputies get there, and we find two adults, one female and one male. And then to our surprise, there was an infant that seemed to be okay. The car was upside down, but the female was holding the infant and handed it to our deputies. And then obviously all three of them were checked out, and no one had any injuries that we could tell. We did find some fentanyl, a little bit of marijuana, and we found a gun. And so they'll be
Good
charged accordingly.
Lord. With a kid in the car. I mean, you know,
all
it's
of
funny
because
what's, you know, you can get accustomed, unfortunately, to hearing that, well, somebody got out and shot into a crowd. Oh, you know, it's Tuesday. Well, I mean, it's a horrible thing. But, and somehow the bizarre part of this is that you had to pit him and there was a kid in the car. Of course, you didn't know about that. But, man, I just... as a parent, I can't imagine, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, the deputies don't know who's in the car at the
right.
time. What they do believe is there's an individual there with a gun and that was willing to use that gun. And so that's what they knew at the time. And they, again, they were only going 35, 40 miles an hour at the time, but the car did roll over.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it seemed like a low-speed rollover
type
of thing. But fortunately for everyone, certainly the infant that was involved in there was a car seat in the car, and I don't know if the child was in the car seat or not, but I hope so, and that's why the infant didn't have any injuries or didn't appear to
have
any
injuries. That's the case, man. Meanwhile, you also had this drug house kind of incident, Talladega. Somehow a machete is involved, and you had been to this house before. Tell us what's going on here.
So let me back up a little bit. For months now, we've been hearing complaints about this. When I say drug house, they don't seem to be selling large amounts of drugs. You know, there is users are there. About 6 weeks ago or so, we finally we were able to get probable cause for a search warrant. So we go there to serve a search warrant, and there's like 23 people in the house. There's the garage is completely full of junk. The epitome of a nuisance home.
Junk like debris, not junk just, like heroin.
Yeah. Junk like debris.
Okay.
So when we're there, I actually drove by on the way into work, and there's just people coming out, and they look to me like users of drugs, and this is early in the morning still, And when I say we kicked a door, we actually had to tear down the garage door because we couldn't get into the garage to check it to make sure there's no one in there that we're hiding. While we're there, two people overdosed. So we had to Narcan two people at 7 o'clock in the morning during a search warrant. So fast forward a couple days ago, we had an overdose death there at that location. And then we had this report of an individual that alerted someone in the neighborhood, say, hey, you need to go check on those people. We get there, and there's one person killed from what looks like a machete or a hatchet of some sort.
Oh, God.
And then there's another male that was seriously injured, and at this point he's still alive. But that's what we're dealing with now. So typically when these nuisance houses are surface, we work with code enforcement because code enforcement can ultimately set liens, and then the county can file for the house to get settle their liens.
Yeah.
The sheriff's office can't do that. So we've kind of worked with code enforcement. But there's another avenue, and so I've directed our legal team, which they did a good job yesterday, of submitting a letter that says you're being declared a nuisance. Just so you know, your house is a nuisance, and you need to stop doing this. Then ultimately there will be another letter that I'll send that'll say you got so many days to abate this thing, and then after that there's an injunction, and then after that there's potential liens to the county. Again, it's kind of a convoluted thing, but the bottom line is we're not going to tolerate this kind of stuff anymore. We're going to do what we can legally to get this house, this nuisance, this ongoing criminal activity abated. And that's where we're at.
You know, the one thing I wonder for a lot of people that might be helpful to tell them is if you've got a house in your area that is a drug house, okay, what would they expect to see? You know, because, I mean, sometimes it's fairly obvious. Other times it might not be as obvious, but what kind of signs? Because there's a lot of our listeners are out walking and they see stuff. You know, and neighbors see stuff, right? What would you want them to notice and then give you guys a call if they see?
Well, I think it starts with the traffic that's there, the sheer number of people. Now, it's not illegal to have people at your house. It's not illegal to entertain. It's not illegal to have barbecues. It's not illegal to have all that. But there's more to it than that. There are people that come for a minute and leave. There's loud ruckus. There's fights. There's overdoses, all this kind of stuff is something that is purely a nuisance. Mm-hmm. And this house is the epitome of such.
Some are more obvious than others.
Yeah, but again, what we tell people is that we have to have probable cause to search. And just because they're out in front and looks like they're doing drugs or high on drugs doesn't mean that we can go inside and search it. And what's valuable about searching it inside is because people tend to hide their drugs inside. Mm-hmm. And when we get their drugs, we can arrest somebody. Typically, we'll arrest a person responsible, whether it's the owner of the house, whether it's the renter of the house, someone's in charge of that. In this case, we made a couple of arrests, but it was for user quantity type of drugs. And then they would just keep coming because there were so many people, probably 23 we got it that morning, but probably a lot more than that actually come there during the course of a week or so. So this one was continuing because, quite frankly, the owner wasn't taking control of it. And I'm not even sure if the owner was there at the time of the search warrant. So that's why we're writing these certified letters to make sure the owner is aware that house is not fit for the neighborhood.
Very good. Well, we had actually two others to get to. We just do not have time to do it today, so we'll have to wait for next week. But fairly interesting stories. Chip Simmons, Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Look, it's a complex landscape that your folks have to police and navigate the law and, as you say, code enforcement and trying to help neighbors and, you know, having to deal with everything from showing up to a football game where, you know, women are fighting in the street to a woman who gets out with a kid in the car and shoots into a crowd to a group of people who are, you know, getting macheted in a drug house. I mean, it's, I don't know, the stuff you deal with is, and we didn't even talk about the naked lady outside. I mean, you know, stuff happens and you guys and gals have to deal with it. So I appreciate the complexity and difficulty of the task, and I appreciate the law enforcement work that y'all do and always the information, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. The credit certainly goes to the men and women that do the work out there every day and every night.
Amen Thank to you. That. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, too, because I imagine some of you are listening and you've heard this interview for now, 15 or 16 minutes, and literally the only thing you remember is, naked lady? What? I don't. What naked lady? I don't. Where? Where? No, seriously, where? No. We didn't cover that story because we just didn't have time. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you are thinking about like learning an extra skill, picking up some personal enrichment and history, some literature, some art, something like that. Or you're thinking about a career change and you're trying to decide, you know, maybe I want to completely change the direction of my life. Or maybe you're a high school student and you want to get some college credit for going to, you know, Pensacola State College. Well, look, that's what my kids did. In fact, we actually have, we just now have our third one starting at PSC. And I'm just telling you, PSC has been fantastic for my family. They, you know, the kids have, as homeschool kids, they learn how to get college credit, which is really nice. But they also learn how to be in a classroom, which, you know, a couple of them had gone to Brown Barge, so they had some experience. But, you know, one of them had never had any classroom experience at all. And so for him, it was a really great thing. But they went to PSC for a couple of years, and they got high school credit for free. There's, you know, there's no cost to this. They got books for free, and then they go to university, and they, like, sophomores and a half. Like 50, 60 credit hours. It's a really, really good program. So Pensacola State College has been good for me, good for my family. The teachers are teachers. You know, the difference between universities, sometimes you get researchers who also teach. When you go to your state colleges, you get teachers. They're very willing to work with you as a customer, very, you know, like student-oriented in the focus and also the administration. Just kind of all around a great thing. Campuses all over the area. And if you want to find out what PSC can do to help you with your future educational goals, go to pensacolastate.edu.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend. And she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you I could help you reach your audience while they are at a sporting event? Hi, I'm Lexi with ADX Digital, and I can help you connect with your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with me today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Navarre Farmers Market Combs of Honey is Saturday from 10 till 2 at the corner of 87 and Segura. Explore and enjoy the wide range of products. GetRelaxing.com for more. The Greater Pensacola Commissioning Committee is proud to welcome the USS Richard McCool to NAS. Take a free tour next Monday through Wednesday afternoons. Get info at PensacolaNavyLeague.org. Submit your nonprofit event at NewsRadio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Our services still off limits to me. Under the circumstances, your privileges are reinstated immediately. What do you need?
Guns. Lots of guns.
Mr. Wayne. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, two people have died and one is seriously injured after a plane tire exploded. This happened at a maintenance facility at Atlanta's airport. The incident reportedly happened as the plane's tire was being removed. It killed a Delta employee and a contractor and injured a second Delta employee. Delta says it's working with local authorities there to investigate just how that happened. Kamala Harris has agreed to give her first interview since entering the presidential race. The vice president will be joining Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. They'll be sitting down with political correspondent Dana Bash, and that interview will air on CNN this Thursday.
A pre-taped.
Pre-taped.
Able to be edited. Partnered interview for the woman who wants to be president of the United States because apparently, they don't feel like she can be trusted to do an interview taped on her own.